Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. This is J-Bo. I'm a little bit under the weather today, or my car is simply blowing mold into my nose and I feel stuffed up. But I don't really know what's going on with me. But either way, I have a feeling in my sinuses. I have a runny nose. It's a very strange feeling. I haven't had a runny nose since I was a little kid, it seems like. I've never really had a bloody nose. Unless, you know. What the fuck is that? Do you guys hear that? I heard some horns beeping. I hope they don't come in here. I've never had a bloody nose. At least the traditional bloody nose from like getting hit in the nose or high altitude. I mean, I've like, you know, scratched the surface of my nostril, probably, you know, and pricked some blood out once or twice in my life. But I did get a black eye once. Just once. I was in 8th grade, and the dude that hit me was a little bit younger. He was like 7th grade. And we were on the basketball court, and I think I was beating him pretty good, and it was a bunch of people. And I remember just saying something about schooling his ass. And before you knew it, he was like up in my face. And I was like, whoa, dude. It was weird. It was really fucking weird. And he like was saying something. And that motherfucker was obviously ready to hit me. Like I didn't even realize it at the time. And then he fucking, I think I pushed him back and looked the other way. Just, I don't know. I think I just came off like a bitch, I'm sure. I just disassociated, I think, and kind of looked away. And all of a sudden, bam, I got hit. And it didn't hurt. It was just like shocking. Like I, you know, saw a little bit of a bright flash or something. And I was like, holy fucking shit, man. And that's it. I just remember having a black eye for a couple weeks and going to Disney World and trying to skip in line at Disney World. And some woman saying, that's probably how you got that black eye, you little punk, you know, something like that, which is kind of a fucked up thing to say. But I was probably trying to skip in line in Disney World. That sounds about right. Yeah, 14-year-old me. Totally. Anyway, welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. You know, getting back to that, I remember that kid. The kid who punched me, his name was Doug Dietrich. And I recently looked him up, and that motherfucker, like, I don't know. He's like a fucking model with crazy hair and like an insane physique, you know? And there's videos of him like taking a sledgehammer to some fucking concrete. Like he's evidently totally the man. Looks a little gay to me, but whatever, man. I don't know who would take that much time with their hair, you know? Maybe I'm stereotyping gay men. I mean, I definitely am, but right. I mean, men are very visually oriented, I think. But it was crazy. It was crazy getting punched. Have you guys ever been punched? I'm sure most people have. This was particularly embarrassing. It was kind of like in front of people. He was in front of my brother and my couple of my buddies, I think, my buddy Willie. And it was, you know, broad daylight. Just, I don't know, man. Strange, strange sensation. I don't know if I got anything positive out of it. I doubt it, actually. It doesn't seem like I learned anything. I mean, maybe not to talk shit, but I don't know. I wasn't really talking that much shit that day. So this is the Shit Show with J-Bo, and we just kind of let our minds wander here. And sometimes you guys should try that. Pick up your phone sometime and just hit the little button on there that it's a voice record. And why don't you try to talk for a half hour? And I'll tell you what, why don't you try to talk for a half hour and send it to me? Send it to jhirumboggs@gmail.com. I would love to hear it. I would love to hear everybody out there's own version of 30 minutes of letting their mind wander and ramble. and trying to be entertaining, attempting, you know. Don't try to do it every week like the J-Bo, like the shit show with J-Bo does. I mean, that's quite a bit to ask. Try to do it one time, 30 minutes. See what it's like. I don't know. I'd love to hear what you had to say. Just send them to me, man. jhiramboggs@gmail.com. Anyway, the last time we checked in, I was in Florida and I had a really good time. You know, coming back to reality, it's kind of like there's that feeling where it's almost that where you don't think you'll have to come back or you don't think you should have to come back. You somehow think you're above that. But those are the people that get really fucked up and get really old and have nothing, you know, the people that think that the rest of their lives. And I don't want to be that guy. But I think for a long time I felt that way where I don't have to do what other people do to survive. Like I've got this fucking thing. It's, you know, call it privilege, call it having backup, you know, having like a mom and grandparents who kind of would help you out if you needed it. I don't think that helped me particularly in life, but it's interesting to think about. And the things that have changed me and have kind of gotten me on the tip that's like, you know, righteous and I want to do the right thing and I want to work hard, even though I'm like 43 and I just kind of discovered it like a few years ago. I don't know. I've always kind of had a job, but you know what I mean? There was that disassociation, like, hey, there's something happening down the road. And I really think something could still happen. So maybe I'm still suffering from it, but I still keep that in mind, but it's a little more grounded now. And I really want to thank like people that I've listened to, podcasters in particular. Who knows, maybe somebody out there will get something from my podcast. I mean, you never know. Stranger things have happened. But Adam Carolla, for instance, I just saw his like hardworking kind of blue collar philosophy and how it was kind of cool to do shitty jobs and kind of cool to kind of be meticulous and be professional and have artistry and care about things. And it kind of, it just kind of slow rolled me into being like who I am today, which is kind of, people might call me conservative or something, but I certainly, anyway, the people I've listened to over the years have had something to do with where I am today politically. You know, I wasn't always this person. I wasn't, you know, when I was in my early 20s, you know, I will say my brother, my little brother, he's a hardcore Republican guy. And when he came back from college, it was kind of like, he would always want to argue. He's very fired up. That's the funny thing now is I'm much more fired up than he is. We've kind of switched places that way. Maybe that's the sign of like the immaturity when you're just like finding out something and, you know, you're fucking fired up initially and then you kind of get some perspective or something and simmer down or whatever. But hold on, let me rearrange this microphone. Hopefully you guys didn't hear that. Anyway, yeah, I wasn't always this way. And this way meaning like I'm a pretty hardcore Trump fan. I'm really fucking anti-censorship. Although I think anybody can be red-pilled. I was just telling a coworker of mine what red-pilled means. And she thought I meant red-billed because she knew it was like a conservative thing, like quote-unquote conservative. I don't really think I'm conservative. I believe in a lot of things that are quite liberal. But I just can't stand hypocrisy, hardcore identity politics, race baiting, hardcore censorship, and just, you know, I'll say it again, hypocrisy. That comes from both sides of the aisle. But anyway, there was a time when I was, you know, somebody might ask me about abortion. I'd be like, well, I wouldn't have one, but I wouldn't stop somebody else from having an abortion. And I guess I'm still on that tip because I don't have the balls to say, hey, lady, you can't have an abortion. I don't actually think that's right. So I guess I'm a moderate pro-lifer. Here's what I tell people about the abortion thing, and it's really easy. First of all, a couple things. The whole keep your hands off my body, in no way, shape, or form is the baby inside a woman, her body. I mean, it's not an earlobe. I mean, nobody's telling her to not pierce her ear. They're telling her to not kill the life inside of her. Nobody can, let's see, what else? Keep your hands off my body. And, I got into some deep shit here, man, right off the bat. I mean, we've only been in I'm just riding. I'm not gonna fucking push stop. I'm not gonna edit. No, we've been only going 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Oh, here's what else I tell people about abortion. You know, don't look, whatever you think. I mean, if you hate pro-life people, why on earth would you hate a pro-life person? I mean, if you're under the false assumption that the baby inside is actually the exact same as the woman's body, then I understand that. But that's really not true, is it? And you can say that, that baby is dependent upon the mother. Well, a baby is dependent upon the mother up until, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, there, so by that rationale, you should be able to, you know, kind of off babies to up to any age that they're dependent on the mother. Another bullshit thing. What would be the third thing? I tell people that if there's one person out there that actually gives a shit about human life, like they actually do, and they're not trying to control a woman or be their, be the misogynist or be the asshole or be the alpha male. You know, they aren't trying to control women. They aren't being dicks. They actually care about the human life. How on earth can you fault that? How on earth can you fault anybody who actually cares? Now, you can disagree and you can say something to the effect that like infanticide has been happening since the dawn of time. And so it's natural, but just don't be under any, you know, disillusions of what's actually happening. You know, I mean, personally, I do think it's much less, ghastly to abort a child that's been, you know, it is a clump of cells a couple weeks old compared to a 3 or 4 month. I mean, it's a huge difference. So, anyway, how the fuck, how on earth did TSS with J-Bo get on abortion? I'll tell you what, just like Everlast said, you got to know what it's like to have to choose. Then you'll know what it's like to have to choose. And I've never had to choose. And I will tell you, honestly, there are probably times in my life, and I don't think I would do it now. I don't think I would have an abortion, but there are times in my life that if I would have chosen, if I would have had to chosen, I damn sure would have chose the abortion. Just because I was too fucking immature and too fucking scared, like a scared little bitch. I mean, on April 1st, my girlfriend pretended she was pregnant. I didn't even think about it being April 1st. She brought me upstairs and she smiled real big and she smiled real big with kind of a crazy look in her eye, in all honesty. And she kind of, just said, "I'm pregnant." And she said it like 3 or 4 times. And I didn't know what the fuck to think, man. I was like, to tell you the truth, I was kind of deathly afraid, you know? It was real intense. And, so I don't know. I don't know what that says about me, but, you know, I'm 43. I'll probably figure it out. Right. Like I still have plenty of time to have kids, I think. Speaking of kids, I am not a kid anymore, but there were a few kids last night at the Taco Cat show. Ooh, that was a smooth little transition there. Let me get a sip of my Diet Coke. You fine people. Thank you so much for listening. I saw a band called Taco Cat last night. They are one of my favorite bands of the past 10 years. I discovered them, I think it was about 2011. God, that's a long time ago. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yeah, that's like 8 years. And you ever have those situations where you discover a band, but it almost felt like fate? It almost felt like society was pointed in the direction of seeing this band. Like I used to hear stories about people discovering Nirvana, or, you know, where the guy just like saw the CD case on the rack and pulled it because he liked the cover and took it home. And there it was. And you just, it's like the universe is working to kind of bring, you know, something that's vital and relevant. You know, I don't know. I think Taco Cat is, for instance, they're a great band, but you guys understand what I'm saying. Basically, I discovered Taco Cat and I saw a video and I was like, it's called Volcano and it was a live video down in California and it just clicked. Wow, I have to see this band, you know? And it probably clicked for a lot of other people around that time. But I went and saw them in a little house party in the university district And it was great. It was like a 25-minute set. They had great energy. You know, there was this hipster girl there that I thought was just absolutely gorgeous. Whatever. I didn't go home with her or anything. She was way out of my fucking league. Her name was Shannon something. But anyway, kind of getting a pain in my jaw. Fuck. I saw Taco Cat and I just got into them and I bought all their stuff and they had put out, they put out an EP called, what the fuck is it called? Take Me to Your Dealer. Within a couple weeks of that, and it was just the most catchiest shit. And I ended up opening the doorway to all kinds of famous people, locally famous people in Seattle through Taco Cab. They were kind of the first, and they kind of run that town, honestly. They're kind of the kings and queens, the queens mostly of that town. There's three girls and a guy in that band, by the way. And let me tell you about Taco Cat a little bit. Anyway, I got to interview those guys and the in girls in that band. Almost everybody except for the singer. She was the big get, man. They're always equally important. I'm just saying, like, you know, she's the singer and she, which means she writes melodies and lyrics, you know, and presumably, but actually I don't know who writes what. I think Bree, the bass player, is very cool. I think she writes a lot of songs too. Yeah, because there was this song called Tanya Harding that's super catchy. I believe that was written by the bassist. Anyway, through them, I felt like I kind of turned on the city to Taco Cat, and every time I see Emily Noakes, the singer, she gives me a big hug, and in my mind, I think, oh, she knows that I helped turn on the city to Taco Cat. That may or may not be true, but I would like to think that that's kind of a reality. You know, we'll see. I mean, I seriously doubt it. Who knows? Maybe she gets, if you guys know Emily Noakes, go ahead and, of course, if Emily Noakes were to listen to this, she would probably disagree so strongly with my stance on what I said about abortion that she wouldn't listen any further and ever contact me again. But then again, I don't really know. Maybe she's really nice about those things politically. But she seems like kind of the figurehead of third wave feminism in Seattle, which, whatever, man. It's all good at this moment in time. Taco Cat is kind of a magical band. They got four distinct personalities in this band. And I always think it's pretty great when bands have like three or four pieces because, well, three or four pieces, three piece like with a guitar, bass, and drums, and then a four piece if it's guitar, bass, drums, and a singer, because it's just the essential. And you have to have such a balancing act, and you have to, it's like making a meal with simple ingredients. You can do it, but you can fuck it up. You know, you can fuck anything up, and it's so hard to make good music. You know what I mean? I mean, it can be. I mean, it comes natural, but to a lot of people, but it can go bad easily. And I think the trick is to really just keep going till you've made something good. And because we all know what's good. We all know what we've made and if we've made it good and if it's worth something. I mean, I know. The only times I know, you know, something sucks or is not well received is if I think it fucking sucks, you know, or if I haven't finished it and I'm really nervous about it. I mean, we know if we can just wait long enough to get that amount of material, but sometimes you can't wait quite long enough, you know, to get the exact, you know, Nevermind by Nirvana or Meet the Beatles or some, or Appetite for Destruction. Sometimes bands are under the gun and they have to put out records every year. And maybe they can't write that many songs. I mean, the Beatles wrote fucking two records every year, which was crazy. where was I? Yeah, Taco Cat, magical band, really cool. Went to see them in Pittsburgh last night. And it was really good. They were very familiar. And they seemed really nice to me, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I bought a t-shirt, and I really love black t-shirts. My favorite kind of t-shirt. What do you guys think? When you're getting a t-shirt from a band or somewhere, what's your favorite? Do you have something you like? Like, do you like a white t-shirt? Do you like pink, blue? I personally like black. Black is like something you put on under anything else, and it just blends in nicely. I like black with white on top. I have so many shirts just like that. I have a Grow West t-shirt. That's where I work. It's black with just the white print. I had a Five Point Cafe shirt that was that way. I had, anyway, long story short, I've had a ton of shirts that were black with white. And last night I bought a Taco Cat shirt. It's brilliant. It's not like some newfangled thing that's supposed to be fabulous. It's just basic. And you have to look closely. You know, it's like my Dead Moon shirt. That Dead Moon shirt's amazing. Everybody sees it from a mile away. But the Taco Cat's going to be a little bit more like, what is that guy wearing? What the fuck is Taco Cat? Has that shirt been around for 20 years, or did he just get it? You'll never be able to tell. It's just a cool, like, subliminal thing. Kind of reminds me of the time of when my buddy Willie, God rest his soul, spray-painted the slogan, Die Tourist Scum, on the main boulevard in St. Augustine, Florida, right before, you know, a big touristy day in the summer or whatever. And it was really apparent. I think he did it in white spray paint, but then the powers that be came back and spray painted it like silver color, like concrete colored, to where it kind of blended in with the concrete. So it actually made it more subversive. You know, it went from being something very obvious to something more subversive. And I kind of liked the effect of spray painting exactly over the Die Tourist Scum with concrete colored spray paint, and there where you could barely make it out. So almost like it would make, actually, I don't think it would actually make more of an impression, but it might be like your own personal secret and you might carry it on, as opposed to this kind of like blatant display, this vulgar display of power. Or, you know, theoretically, they could have just changed around the letters to write something else, which is an interesting way to go. When I was in high school, there was a legend, a legendary slogan called Book 88. And it's not the Hail Hitler slogan. I've thought about calling bands that. It's HH. And the Hail Hitler comes from, H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H, yeah, sorry, H, eight letters, and HH, Hail Hitler, is 88. But in school, Book 88 had nothing to do with Hitler, but it had to do with Ed Locks. He was our principal, and some really cool guys evidently spray-painted in huge block letters, Fuck Ed, on the bleachers, Fuck Ed, and you could see it from a half mile away. And the next morning, Mr. Moody, who was a really great janitor, he helped me to quit smoking and whatnot. He went over it with more white paint and he changed it from Fuck Ed to Book 88 until they could get rid of it. And so Book 88 became much more subversive and very cool. And I can remember the principal, I remember having it written on both fucking the tops of both hands. And at one point, the principal comes up to me and literally grabs my hands and looks at them. And they both say Book 88, which is a symbol of Fuck Ed. And he just like walked away. It must have like hurt his feelings or something. I can imagine. I thought I was in trouble, but I guess he didn't believe in censorship, which is cool. But yeah, whatever. He must have felt bad. And so I guess I felt bad a little bit in retrospect. You know, he was just a fucking weirdo. Some kind of cult follower whose family was strange and who looked like a greasy politician and ran that fucking school like an asshole. I don't know. Fuck Ed, man. Book 88. So, I had a really fucking terrible lunch today, I have to tell you guys. I mean, I've just been so tired lately. I'm doing this podcast, and I'll let you know what I'm doing after the podcast. I'm not vegetarian anymore. I can't even fake it, but I am trying, and I might jump back into it, but I did buy some bologna and some bread, some mayo, some mustard, and some chips. And that's what I'm going to eat tonight. I know it's not exciting at all, and why the fuck would you even care? But it's been a crazy, you know, I drove 15 hours Sunday night. I got about literally three hours, 2.5 hours sleep, went to work, then drove to Greensburg, fought with my girlfriend, then drove to Taco Cat in Pittsburgh. Then drove back to Taco Cat. These are an hour each way. Got to bed by midnight or 1. Got back up this morning at 5:30 and drove 2 hours to work. And then I did 7.5 hours. I'm fucking tired. I'm fucking tired, man. And I was just hoping for a little nice lunch today at work, and it really didn't happen. I went in this place and I sit down and it took him 10 minutes to come. I don't give a shit usually, man. I'm laid back, but I was on an hour lunch break and I was really hungry. I really just wanted a fucking salad and soup. And he took 10 minutes, man. And he came over and I said, "Hey, Meg." He said, "How's it going?" I said, "Good, man." I was like, "I'm just on a lunch break." And when I say I'm on a lunch break, it's kind of hint, hint. He's like, "Oh, okay, cool, man." It's hint, hint, like, "Hey, man, can we get this fucking show rolling, man? Can we please get this motherfucking show rolling?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, here's a menu." I said, "Dude, I know exactly what I want." I said, "I want soup and salad." "What kind of soup?" "Okay, crab soup." "Great." "And I want a Diet Coke." 5 minutes. He goes, "Okay. It might take a little bit." I was like, "Well, it's just soup and salad, right? How long is it going to take?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, true. It's not going to take that long." So 2 minutes later, he comes back and says, "Hey, man, here's your Dr. Pepper." I said, "I asked for Diet Coke, but that's cool, man. Dr. Pepper sounds better to me. I love pepper and peppers." We'll get into pepper at another time. Dr. Pepper was a cult for about 2 years for me when I was about 14 to 16. Basically, before I discovered women. And not that I was getting laid or anything. I'm just saying I discovered looking at them, and then like 3 years later, you know, 18, 19, I actually finally got laid, you know. But he brought me Dr. Pepper. I said, "That's fine, I'll drink it." So I sit there and I wait, you know, fucking looking at him like, "Oh, it's only 12:30. If it comes any minute," you know, I've been waiting for 20 minutes at this point for fucking soup and salad. I've been there since about 12:05. I was like, I can eat fast. If it comes here, you know, I'll eat it quick. It'll be fine. 12:35 rolls by. 12:40. I said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" "I don't know." You know, you figure he might speed it up for me. Not because I'm special, but because I'm a fucking customer and, like, obviously I'm on my lunch break. But no, he had no sense of urgency. And at some point I go, "Dude, can I please get the food to go?" I waited another 5 minutes. Here it is, 12:46. I'd be back at 1, you know. I said, "Bro, I can't even get it to go. I just have to go. I'll pay for this fucking Dr. Pepper and leave." Now, most people, and this is how I know the dude wasn't really with it. He goes, "Oh, yeah, let me ring you up for that Dr. Pepper." Now, most people who are fucking with it would have not charged me for the Dr. Pepper. I was willing to pay for it. But in that situation, I've only drank half of it. I guess I probably shouldn't have, you know, been the good little schoolboy and offered to pay for the motherfucking Dr. Pepper. But either way, he shouldn't have made me pay for it. But he did. He went, took another 2 fucking minutes to change my 20 for a fucking Dr. Pepper. And I just left. He's like, "Sorry, man." You know, I didn't want to take it out on him, man. It's not his fault. He was doing the best he could. The place wasn't staffed. Who the hell knows what's going on? Either way, I didn't get to eat. You know, whatever. I'm sick. I'm just feeling fucking bad. And then I go out to the car and I have a goddamn parking ticket. And that was my lunch. I had a fucking parking ticket. So I fucking peel out of there, went to Sheetz. Sheetz is great. If you guys never been to Sheetz, it's like the world's greatest convenience store. They have this thing called MTO where you get to literally just make make any kind of sandwich, salad, and there's pre-made items, but you can build your own shit. And it's really great for late at night drunk food. I love the little sausages, like spicy sausages, and I'll get some weird shit on there, like Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce and fucking coleslaw and jalapenos or something. It's just a gut bomb from hell and terrible. I mean, it's the reason why I'm fucking slowly becoming out of shape again, but god damn it, they're so tasty. And when you're on the road, fast food just calls me, man. That smell, man, I smell it. It's horrible. Don't get stuck in it, please. I know some of you out there are disgusted by me because I told you I was vegetarian and I was trying to be vegetarian. And actually, I'm going to get back to it. But when you're on the go and you got to grab something and starving is not an option, sometimes you grab what the common motherfucker eats, and the common motherfucker eats a lot of shitty meats and cheeses and carbs. I'm sorry. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's how it is. I knew that was going to happen when I fucking started driving every, you know, for this job, 2 hours a day or something. Anyway, how you guys doing? How's everybody doing out there? This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. I am J-Bo, and I just got off of work. I'm looking forward to a nice, relaxing evening. I'm going to try to stay away from blue screens. I really am. I mean, who knows? You know, you might see me at midnight fucking up in some weird-ass, you know, Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, you know, listening to Rand Paul or Lindsey Graham or whoever, or watching, you know, who knows? You never know what you'll get into these days. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm fucking sleeping tonight. And I'm sorry if this is a little bit low energy today. My buddy Mike's coming back. Oh, on another note, he's come. The guy, and we'll definitely talk with him in our next episode. I think I'm going to meet him down at the Harper's Ferry, which is halfway in the Appalachian Trail. Do you guys believe that? I took my buddy Mike, like, it's been 2.5 months. He'll be halfway this weekend. That's fucking great. I think he's going to do it. But yeah, it's been just a crazy couple days, but I wanted to put this podcast out. I want to tell you guys all that I was thinking about you and tell you how cool Taco Cat was and hopefully not offend too many of you with my views on abortion. I wanted to tell you about, you know, black shirts with white text. That's how J-Bo does it. So yeah, I'm going to go, man. Thank you. Really, really. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Every week you can count on me, 100% count on me. Take it to the bank, sell it, send it, and we'll talk to you soon. Please, but like I said, try to do some stream of consciousness with your phone. All you have to do is turn on your phone and then record the little voice recorder. I want you to talk into your phone in a dark room for as long as you can. See how long you can do it without totally being an idiot or totally stopping or, you know, whatever. And send it to me, jhiramboggs@gmail.com. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. This has been The Shit Show with J-Bo, and we shall talk soon. Bye.